The Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea with them, they themselves got into the boats and went to the town of Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him again, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. In case you are still waking up when Pastor Wengert welcomed you to worship this morning, my name is Pastor Kristen Engstrom, or you may have heard that when she was talking with the kids, and I serve as an ELC missionary in Senegal, West Africa. Now, if you want to know where that is, you get to come to the adult forum after worship, and you'll find out a bit more where that is, but you did see it on the map. And my work there is to coordinate an ELCA program called Young Adults in Global Mission, which is a program where young adults from the ELCA serve with one of our partners around the world. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that during a temple talk and during the adult forum after worship today. But I get to do that work thanks to congregations like yours who support the work of ELCA Global Mission and who support missionaries like myself. And so one of the ways that I get to say thank you to congregations like yours is that I get to come visit you like on Sundays like today. And one of the joys for me, and hopefully for you too, when I get to visit my supporting congregations is that I get the opportunity to share a bit more about my life and my work and my ministry with our ELCA partners in Senegal in West Africa. And frankly, because Pastor Wengert has given me the opportunity to preach, one of the best ways for me to share about my life and my ministry is through the lens of our biblical texts. Because when I move to Senegal and when I read our shared biblical text in the context where I now live, they take on a little bit of a new perspective for me than when I lived and served here in the United States. And so in our gospel reading for this morning, from the Gospel of John, we heard what is actually part two of the gospel from last week, if you were here in worship last week, when Jesus, gathered on a hill with more than 5,000 people, was able to feed that crowd of more than 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that had been brought by a local boy. But as one might expect from such a grand event like that, the story didn't actually end when the meal was finished. And so the very next morning, as we heard in the Gospel of John, that huge crowd that was gathered on the hill of more than 5,000 people discovered that Jesus and his disciples had snuck out on them in the middle of the night and crossed over the sea to the town of Capernaum. And so they go after and try to find out where he is. And when they find him, they start asking questions to try to figure out who in the world this man is and what in the world he's up to. And at first, when we hear Jesus' response, it sounds sort of like he's critiquing them for asking questions, for trying to figure out who he is and what he's up to. But I wonder if we step back and read it again, if maybe his response to them might actually be more of a statement of the reality of who we are as human beings and how we live our lives and live our faith. Rabbi, they say to him when they find him, when did you come here? Bewildered as they are that he's left them on the other side of the sea and snuck out in the middle of the night. And Jesus responds, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life. I don't know about you, but I sort of want to stand up from that crowd and tell Jesus, well, of course. Who doesn't like free, miraculous meals? Who doesn't need to eat one day after another in order to stay alive? And frankly, food is much easier for me to appreciate, to see and to taste and to touch and to smell and to eat than what we tend to assume a sign from God must look or feel or sound like. But Jesus seems to be encouraging the crowd to recognize that what he did, the miracle of an abundant meal, to recognize that it wasn't simply food, but it was a sign of God's active participation in this world and in their lives. Sort of like when we gather around this table here and eat God's meal given to us. But the reality was then, for that crowd of more than 5,000, and is still now for us, I think, is that it can be hard for us to recognize God's ongoing participation in this world. Many of us, if you're like me, have a hard time believing that miracles can still take place in this world. The divisions in our country or in our community or in our families and even in ourselves can make us feel isolated and defensive. The lengths that so many of us go to create a better life for ourselves can leave us wondering if this world is just falling apart around us. And that constant creeping violence and death all around the world can make us wonder if God has just given up on us and abandoned us to our own devices. And so we stop looking. Perhaps we even stop believing that God is still active among us, that God would continue to keep sending the living bread from heaven into our lives and into our worlds. But I found that it's in those times, in these times when we want to give up, when we want to despair, that I give thanks that we are not the church all by ourselves, that we don't believe in God all by ourselves. And then I give thanks that our sisters and brothers in this diverse world-circling body of Christ can bring us living bread from heaven when we find ourselves hungry and in need of God's bread. And that they can remind us and witness to us that God is still sending living bread from heaven right here and now among us. And so this morning, as you might expect from a visiting missionary, I want to share with you two stories of God's living bread that comes to Senegal. This past fall, one of my Senegalese colleagues in the Lutheran Church of Senegal, Pastor Francois Chum, invited me to preach at his parish's annual stewardship weekend Sunday morning worship. And when I arrived in his village for my weekend stay, Pastor Chum wanted to give me a tour of his village. And one of our first stops was a peek into a small one-room building that sits just in front of the church compound. "This," he said with great enthusiasm, "is where the children gather for preschool." And then he went on to explain, as his body was so excited with this place that he was showing me, he explained that the congregation had previously received funding from the Finnish government to support these church-run preschools that were open to all children in the village, no matter their faith, whether they were Muslim or Christian or traditional beliefs. But then the Finnish government cut the funding the year before, which had threatened to close these community preschools. But his congregation decided that these preschools were so important to the lives of the people in the village that his parishioners came together and, even with small financial resources, continued to run a couple of these village preschools themselves. Pastor Chum, that morning, he was so proud of the love of God that his parishioners were showing to their community. He was so proud of their sacrifice, of their courage, of their tenacity of faith to provide a life-changing education to all children in the village, as they in that parish became living bread for their neighbors and their friends around them. And then I also have this story, or remember this story, of a visit that I made to a town called Linguer. Linguer is a town in northern Senegal that sits right on the border of the desert. And we had some visitors coming from the ELCA, and so we went up to visit Linguer. They were there to meet two of our ELCA young adults in Global Mission who live and serve there with our partners. And they also were going to experience the healthcare ministries that are run by one of our ELCA partners called Senegalese Lutheran Development Services, or SLDS is a much shorter way to say that. And so in the morning, we had gone out to visit these village health centers that are supported by Senegalese Lutheran Development Services, one in each village, so people didn't have to travel all the way into town if they needed health care. And then as we returned to the town of Linguer, and we drove up to the house and the office of my colleague Miriam, we saw about 20 women, a few men, and a handful of children setting up a large circle of chairs and tables of snacks and drinks in her courtyard of her house and her office. "What is going on here?" I turned and asked Miriam, who was sitting next to me in the car. "We're going to meet the association," she said to me. "Association of what?" I replied to her. "You'll see," she said as this twinkle came into her eye. "They will tell you themselves." And they did. The women and the men and the children sitting around that circle shared that they were all living with HIV and AIDS. And they gather together once a month to support one another, to check in with one another, to hear an educational teaching, and to organize ways of ensuring the quality of life for one another, especially if in the case of sickness or of family problems. Now, Senegal is 90% Muslim and about 5% Christian. So one of our ELCA visitors, knowing this fact about Senegal, asked the members of the association, "Are you Muslim or are you Christian? Because you're participating and seem to enjoy participating in a group that's supported by a Lutheran Christian organization, Senegalese Lutheran Development Services." One of the men raised his hand and spoke up. "I'm a Muslim," he said, "but without the Lutherans, I would be dead. When I found out that I was HIV positive, I thought I was going to die," he said. "But the Lutherans, the church, has cared for me and supported me and loves me as I am. And we know that the Lutherans are doing God's work here, both for Muslims and for Christians." Now, as a missionary, as a pastor, as a privileged and quite educated American, it can be easy for me to assume that I have answers, that I have been sent to Senegal to share my knowledge or my faith in order to help the people of Senegal. But what I've learned over and over and over again from listening to the faith and to the lives of my Senegalese sisters and brothers, and from working in partnership with our ELCA Lutheran partners in Senegal, is that it is God who gives the living bread from heaven that changes lives, not me. And that when I have trouble believing that God can still be at work in this world, or that God can create abundant life out of the mess we've made here, it is then, more than ever, that I find that we need to listen to and learn from and receive the blessings and to be fed by the bread of life that is the diverse body of Christ all around the world. We need our brothers and sisters to help us keep on believing and keep on being the bread of life and receive the blessings that come from God. You heard me tell just a few minutes ago the stories of Pastor Chum and of the association. But the stories of God at work in them don't actually end in them. The bread sort of keeps on multiplying. This pastor, one of the Senegal Yegam, or the Young Adults in Global Mission, who feels called to become an ELCA pastor and is actually right now starting her Greek studies at Wartburg Seminary in Iowa, she spent 2 weeks last year with Pastor Chum in his village, experiencing and learning what it is to be a pastor in Senegal. And it is my fervent hope that getting a glimpse of what it means to be a Christian pastor in a predominantly Muslim country will shape how she prepares for pastoral ministry right back here in the United States. And Pastor Chum gives us living bread through her work and her ministry as a pastor. And for 2 years now, one of the young adults in Global Mission, so two of them, one each year, who's interested in serving in healthcare when they come back to the United States, has served in Linguère with the healthcare team there and been part of the association. And both of those young adults, when they finished their year of service, told me how they had been strengthened in their vocational calling to community healthcare. Not only because their gifts and their strengths had been strengthened and lifted up, but even more so because of the witness they witnessed how their colleagues trusted in God, and that they saw the faith of the people that they served, and that propelled them to go and serve others in God's name. It is stories like these, and there are many more that I don't have time to share with you this morning, that makes me so thankful that I get to be an ELCA missionary, and makes me so thankful that you as a congregation have reached out and supported our partners and me and our work around the world. Because we, the people of God, we need one another. We need to be and to share God's living bread across the church. We need to receive the witness and the faith of our sisters and brothers who might look different, who might speak differently, who might live differently, even believe a little bit differently than us. But we need them so that together, filled with and entrusted with the living bread of heaven that is Christ present and alive in us, so that together we can follow Jesus, not just to feed hungry people, but eliminate hunger altogether, to stop violence and wars, and to be God's people, God's living bread, stretching across divisions and differences among us. Or as we say in Senegal, if you speak French, ané ensemble. Or if you speak Wolof, which is one of our local languages, néo-far. Or for those of you who speak English, we are in this together. Because God has come into this world to give all of us living bread from heaven so that we may eat it and share it and live life abundantly here and around the world, now and forever. Amen.